I learned a new word. It's the word malaphor. Have you ever heard that word before? It's the nonsensical conflation of idioms or cliches. It's when you put things together that don't actually belong together. So for instance, you can take one man's trash to another man's treasure, but you can't make it drink. That's a malaphor. See, it doesn't, what? Here's another one. We'll burn that bridge when we come to it. Have you ever heard these? Oh, come on, it's not rocket surgery. Oh, yeah, he's not the sharpest egg in the attic, is he? Here's another one. Never, at least not until the cows freeze over. One more. This one's my favorite. Well, you opened this can of worms. Now lie in it. Groan. Something big, really big, is happening just about dead center in the Gospel of Mark. I've never tried to actually count the number of words from the back or from the front and then see where you end up in the middle, but this little narrative, this little paragraph, these seven verses are right smack dab in the middle. There's something at the beginning and something at the end that kind of frame it, but this is the, well, not a malaphor, but this is an extraordinary experience. The author is pulling out every metaphorical tool that he has in order to tell this story. These signs and images are like a key that unlocks who it is this Jesus has come to be, this Jesus of Nazareth, so enigmatic, so mysterious, so hard to understand, and yet so plain, so obvious. God's presence, God's power, and purposes are realized here in this middle part. So I wonder, you know, if you'll try this exercise with me. We've done it before, but try it. I mean, just do it. Left hand ready, up. See, now that, just to get you warmed up. Right hand up. Now, my hope is that over the course of the next couple of minutes, we'll do something I like to call the gospel read slow. Now, when you come upon something that kind of flashes in your noggin, when you hear something that seems salient to the meaning of the words that are around here, we'll do it, okay? And I'll try to call on you, and you can respond. And we'll frame each of these responses in a couple different ways. It could be that you'll raise up your hand and you'll say, oh, I notice, and then you'll speak it. Or conversely, you'll say, oh, I wonder. All right? You have this, how this is going to work? Now, I'm going to have to take this with me. I'm not going to poke the microphone in your face, but I'm going to wander about a bit. Because I want you to, ever so closely, you can close your eyes if you want, ever so closely listen for, not malaphors, but are there signs? Are there meanings, metaphors that stir something in you? Are you ready? 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. I'm going really slowly, and I don't see any hands yet. Oh, Pam, this was not a setup. I didn't get her, you know, ahead, but I wonder why only those three. Yeah. What does Jesus have in mind? Yeah, Roland. It jumps off the page after, what is this? Where is this going to go? I happen to know, I looked it up, but that was 6 days after Jesus and Peter had been in Caesarea Philippi. Who owns Caesarea Philippi? Blank. Get it? Get it? He confesses that Jesus is the Son of God there. Interesting. Okay, a little more. Oh, Alicia. They wondered that at the 9 o'clock service too, because if you've been there, you know that none of them are quite like Rainier. And he was transfigured before them. and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. John? Yeah. It's kind of like this unexpected, wild, wonderful thing. And your mouth drops open at the spectacle of it. Okay? Yeah. Did anybody wonder about the word transfiguration? Yeah, Kari did. Thank you for saying that. Did you notice that, or did you wonder? Yeah. The ancient Greek is metamorphethe. That's a mouthful. Metamorph, what you can sort of use your Latin noggin to figure it out. Something changed the form of, the look of, the appearance of Jesus. Other translations use words like transformed or morphed or something. How the Swedish translate that word in the text? I can't speak Swedish, but if you take the Swedish and make it English, you end up with this word. Jesus was clarified for them. Interesting. Gospel read slow. Okay, Lee. Yeah, you just look over there at Jim, and he just kind of shines like Jesus, yeah. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Kind of get back to Pam's point, those same persons. What were they saying to each other? Man, can you believe this? You know, it would just be fascinating. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Yeah, and this whole business of dwellings, what is that about? The scholarship, of course, is that this is the festival of booths, so there's actually a season thing going on here, and there's something culturally at work there. And it would have been during this time that the coming Messiah, the one who's Son of God, the one to usher God's kingdom is on the way. And so in one way, Peter's reply is totally brilliant. In another way, you think, oh, Peter, there you go off again, all right? Oh, Bill.
How did Moses and Elijah happen to be there when they had 9 centuries before?
Aha. Uh-huh. He's got his timeline going in his head, right? How on earth did those two end up there with Peter? I mean, there's decades, centuries between them. How did that happen? And what is it about those two, this lawgiver, this prophetic one, these two that you would expect to see when God's about to do a new thing, okay? You guys this is good. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Lisa, you've had 3 turns already. Who is he? Yeah. Yeah, was Peter the one who was kooky with fear, who was just out of his mind, crazy scared, or was it one of the other ones? Yeah, yeah. All right, ready? See, if I walk this way, we might get the choir to put up their hands. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. See, Karen's thinking. Oh, she's not sure if she should raise her hand or not. Nancy! Yeah, I noticed that they must have been kind of shaking in their boots. Okay, yeah, yeah. And it's interesting because as they're scared, what happens? Or John, I'm sidetracking you. Yeah, uh-huh. There you go. Right. As they're there in their terror, one scholar said they're actually swaddled with a cloud, just like the babe, right? God comes and wraps around and holds and keeps and then says, listen to this one. I looked up a quote. Igor Stravinsky said, to listen is an effort, and just to hear is of no merit. A duck hears also. It just kind of makes me smile, you know? ducks. Okay. Leisha, you've had four, but I'll give you one more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and the biblical scholars in the room, when else have clouds been part of the story? You start to remember back when there were times, oh, Sinai? Sure, yeah. Or they're wandering after they've been in the desert. Which way do we go? And they at night, they look at the pillar of fire, and in the day, they look. Yeah, see, you see how, isn't Mark clever? Okay, a little bit more. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. You gotta come back down. Maybe on one level, as extraordinary as this whole experience is, there is this, what, reminder? You gotta go home. You got to go back to the neighborhood, back to community, to work, to efforts, to relationships, to the choices that we have to make together about our common life. Transformed, changed, and altered by God's touch, by God's word. Not a metaphor, but a sign. A sign that would change you and me. Frighten us to our bones, or inspire us in our souls to do and to be something new. There are at least three times in Mark's gospel when there is this pronouncement about the sun. Do you remember at the opening scenes in the baptism, the heavens open and the clouds are split, the sky is rent, and there is the announcement, this is mine, my beloved Son, the Son of God. And now here again in the middle of the gospel, right? You see how this bookends work? At the transfiguration here in chapter 9. But then at the end. The end. The end when Jesus is arrested and tortured. When Jesus is mocked and crucified and breathes his last. It's offered again. Truly this was the Son of God. Only now it's not the cloud talking. It's not the sky splitting or the disciples speaking. Who has that line at the end? Surely this was the Son of God. Do you remember? Who said it? The guards. The soldier, the centurion. This one in Rome's corner. Wow. The very sign of the brutality and oppression of the empire. That's the one in whose mouth these words come. Maybe if God can get a centurion to say it, can he get our mouth to offer it? For you and I to say that again, again of ourselves and again of Jesus. Amen.